Hey everybody, once again it's that time when we're moving into the December season, the time of year which I've called the giving season, and it's only going to be a few days until Christmas, so I wanted to share with some of you around the title I've given it, December season, the giving season. Also want to encourage you to continue to believe that the maximum is still attainable in every area of our lives. And it is, even with us coming close to the end of the year, I believe that every day gives an opportunity to expect the maximum. Yeah, there's a worldly expression we hear at this time as well, give till it hurts. But you know what, I found that that's not a true or have any biblical meaning. I found a phrase from a pastor, Greg Buckner, that I was looking at that really witnessed with my heart, and I believe is God's heart. And it's this phrase which says, true giving never hurts, true giving heals. And in fact, this comes from a story, it's a true account of the Ponca Indian tribe, P-O-N-C-A, that has an interesting tradition. When a loved one dies, the family and friends meet to share with one another. They share not in the form of words, but in the form of giving. You may not think that's too interesting until you hear who does the sharing. You see, thousands of dollars of gifts are given to members of the tribe and family. If people need food, the family gives them food. If others need household supplies, the family gives them a basket of supplies. Others give personal items from the deceased, like blankets and shawls. Instead of friends giving to the bereaved family gives to others. Even 1 year later, the family and their friends get together again and the giveaway continues. When a journalist asked about this custom, a granddaughter of the chief simply said, "We believe you can accept death or sorrow or hurt by giving rather than getting. Instead of giving until it hurts, this custom emphasized that one should give until it heals." And as we were thinking about this, it brings us round to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll expand in a little bit. But Paul continued in this second letter to the Corinthian church. And in this letter, it appears he needed to give the church an opportunity to heal itself by giving to others. This message is different, isn't it, than what we would normally hear about giving. Paul didn't guilt the church into giving. He told them that they need not give grudgingly or out of necessity. He told them that their faith showed in their giving. That giving was much more of a spiritual as well as a physical thing. Paul told them they had an opportunity to assist in their own healing by giving. Giving until it heals, if you like, is far more biblical than giving till it hurts. And you know, when as pastors, I've seen this way it's been preached sometimes. People preach it, giving until it hurts turns giving into a negative experience. It's demeaning, it's painful. But in the New Testament, giving is never presented in a painful manner. No matter where you look, the scriptures say God loves a cheerful giver. You see the phrase, freely give, receive, and freely give. Wonder Jesus himself has said it's more blessed to give than receive. True giving, biblical New Testament giving, should never hurt. But true giving heals and brings freedom. Excuse me. I believe we should challenge ourselves to give not for the cause or program. Instead, we give because we have been forgiven. I believe at the very heart of the gospel is the experience of forgiveness. All of us fall short of God's calling at some time. We all miss the mark of, if you like, faithful discipleship at some times. However, God is good, is a God whose standards are never lowered. But here is the thing we must remember. But whose children are always forgiven. Forgiveness, the good news revealed in Jesus Christ, thrusts us into the future free from the shackles of our past. As a consequence, we can, in turn, we can forgive and give for others. We give until it heals, not because we're convinced of a good cause, but because we have the internal need and awareness and understanding to give because we have been given by the Lord of so much. Paul has gone to the church in Macedonia before going to Corinth. And he was surprised that this congregation, poorer than most of the churches, exceeded Paul's expectations in the giving for the work being done in Jerusalem. Instead of giving until it hurt, the Macedonians gave until it healed. Paul said that he could testify that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to the Lord's will of their on their lives. I want to read that in 2 Corinthians 8, starting at verse 2 in the Amplified. For in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and the depth of poverty together have overflowed in a wealth of lavish generosity on their part. Talk about liberal people. For as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily. Begging us, can you hear that? Begging us most insistently for the favor and the fellowship of contributing in this ministration for the relief and the support of the saints in Jerusalem. Nor was the gift of theirs merely by contribution that we expected, but first they gave of themselves to the Lord. Entirely disregarding their personal interests, they gave as much as possible they possibly could, having put themselves at our disposal to be directed by the will of God. Wow, when I read that and I think about sometimes it has been taught by the church lately a little differently. Could it be that we've loaded down Christian giving with so many negative meanings that what is intended to be a positive, freeing, joyful experience of giving has become so negative that we shy away from addressing it altogether? I know this has happened in the church at the moment. Pastors are not wanting to be accused of being just after the money, where our responsibility is to share the word in such a joyful way that people will be challenged to give of themselves, not by guilting one another or shaming themselves for this program or that cause, but for them to give because they and you and I, Diane and I, have been given so much, forgiven so much. Causes come and go, programs come and go, pastors come and go. Whenever giving is tied to any of these, giving will come and go also. However, forgiveness is eternal, it never comes and goes. Forgiveness is always present, always current. Therefore, when giving is our faith response, think about that. If you're listening this morning, faith, giving is our faith response to being forgiven. It never comes and goes. I truly believe if you show me a people who give until it heals and brings freedom to you, to them, and I'll show you a people who are full of joy. We are forgiven. Therefore, we give until it heals. And as we have been healed through the loving sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, please remember that as we go into this season, true giving never hurts. True giving heals, brings freedom, brings an abundance of God's presence on our situations and lives. I really believe that as we go into this season of December, this giving season, the season when God gave so greatly to us, I believe that we'll understand that it is such a joy to give and to understand the healing that it produces in our lives and in the people around us as they receive and they will bring and give glory to God. God bless. Have a great day. See you next week. Bye.
If you would like to receive free information about becoming a partner with Jerry Savelle, or if you would like to support the outreaches of Jerry Savelle Ministries International, call 617-557-65534 or write to us at P.O. Box 3546, Robina Town Center, Queensland 42300. You can also give online at jerrysavelle.org.